Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. People of God and St. Bede's again, good morning. Our gospel lesson today occurs during a meandering voyage that Jesus and his disciples took in the days which, as Luke had recorded previously in chapter 9, that Jesus had set his face to go to Jerusalem. The events in chapter 18 from our reading likely occur chronologically after the raising of Lazarus, recorded in John's gospel. And so, in order to avoid the newly invigorated hunt to capture Jesus, he ventures into the area of Samaria. As he entered a certain village, 10 lepers stood afar off. Now, given the contagious nature of the disease at that time, as well as the restrictions given in the books of Leviticus and Numbers, we can understand why this separation was described. We are informed at the end of the story that one in the group was a Samaritan. And so the rest, we can reasonably conclude, were Israelites, because Jesus commanded them all to go show themselves to the priest. And he certainly only would have sanctioned the priests of the Old Covenant. And so it seems that affliction, misfortune, persecution, and disease, as we well know, can often drive normally diverse or separate groups of people, can drive them together, who in times of prosperity and ease would not normally do so. The questions for us today are, what brings us together? And more importantly, what holds us together? Often we may come to God's house on Sundays in a state of ease, yearning to sing uplifting hymns, hear God's word, and receive Holy Communion. All good things which God uses through his grace to bless us. But are we aware of our own disease? Our own, if we break up the word, our own dis-ease before God? Or if we understand who we are and who God is, what do we do with that understanding? Do we just present ourselves in church? Present ourselves seemingly cleansed on the outside? Or do we turn back and run to the feet of the Savior, the Savior, and worship him in spirit and in truth? So let's look at our lesson today and see how once more God's love and the acts of a Samaritan can encourage us to present ourselves more fully in worship. You're welcome to look at Luke chapter 17 in your Book of Common Prayer on page 209 or your Bibles. Now we remember the parable of the Good Samaritan. And while there was much truth in that, here we have an actual story, the story of a grateful Samaritan. And I think this is important to acknowledge because it's an actual story, lest you think that in parables Jesus just sort of speaks of power and wisdom, but never really imparts it. So beginning in verse 12, 10 lepers stood far off. Now, as I mentioned earlier, the Old Covenant affirmed this practice. Leviticus 13 dictated that these men were to stand and cry, "Unclean, unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." This is the word of God. And as harsh as it sounds, the ravaging effects of leprosy warranted such caution. Basically, a person with leprosy is someone who is literally rotting away. Beyond the maladies on the actual skin, the nervous system becomes numb to all sensation, eventually allowing for injury or wounds to be debilitating. Fingers and toes could fall off or be eaten away without notice. And worse, leprosy in its development and latency typically lasted a decade long, but likely weakened in their ability, these men lifted up whatever voices they had and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, Holy Scripture does not tell us their motivation. Among prior crowds, some were rebuked for requesting a sign, while others in physical impairment were asked directly by our Lord, "What do you want?" But we can appreciate their address of Jesus as Master. They acknowledged the authority Jesus had in some capacity, but would they stretch that authority beyond just the health of their body to their souls? And brothers and sisters, do we? Do we present ourselves in church to take whatever blessings we can get for our temporal lives? Or do we bow at the Master's feet and receive all the compassion and love He has for us, not only for our temporal lives, but in our eternal, as Lord and Savior as well? You see, despite the scars and agony of leprosy, sin is a far worse disease because it affects the soul. It also affects the body and everyone possibly associated with that person. But like leprosy, it is a disease that only gets worse and eventually can consume the individual with disastrous results, if not for a remedy. May we cry for mercy. As Bishop Ryle noted, if saints could only see their souls as the 10 afflicted lepers saw their bodies, then they would pray for mercy far better and far more often than they actually do. So when Jesus saw them, He said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." Now, you would not want to do this in the moment that Jesus told you to. You would not want to go to a priest in the Levitical system of the Old Covenant if you currently had leprosy. There would be no benefit. The Levitical priesthood served in their primary capacity, but also as butchers of the many sacrifices, as well as the equivalent of our dermatologists in the matter of uncleanness, all guided by God's word and commandments. If they felt going before the priest in this state would be a benefit, the priest simply would have turned them back around and said, "Go back. Go back outside the camp." Well, these lepers had just assigned Jesus as their master, so He tested them and gave them the command to go show themselves before the priest. And as Luke writes, so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now again, we see wherever Jesus went, lives were dramatically changed in all sorts of ways. Some by God's common grace, as He allows rain to fall on the just and unjust. And presumably, the lepers saw the priest and were declared unclean. They were cured of the leprosy, but not healed of their dis-ease. All of them but one. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. As a side note, let us just note that here is one instance where Jesus does receive worship as God. lest we believe some that say he never said he was the Son of God. One of the lepers, having realized where his cure had come from, turned back the way he had come to meet Jesus. He knew where the cure had come from and wanted to thank Jesus and glorify God's name. As John wrote in his gospel, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." You see, ten men were exposed to God's power, and all ten received it in some way. But only one then sought a personal relationship with the source of that power. Nine of the men were content to receive the blessings of God, but only one wanted to return to the source of that blessing. He returned to Jesus. And the fact that he returned seems to indicate that he recognized in Jesus something more than just a healer. He was intent to present himself before the one true, holy high priest. And so Jesus asked, were there not 10 cleansed? Jesus knew the answer. And yet here he is in a time of worship that he is engaging with this one man who came back, who received him. Where are the 9? Somewhere cleansed outwardly, but yet a filthy cup on the inside. And that can be so true even of God's people today. God's blessings are poured out on all people, not just his children. But God makes rain for both the just and the unjust alike. But only a relatively few, as compared to the Lord's offer to all, are interested in having that personal relationship with their Master and Savior. Many commentators speculate on the intentions or the reasons for the other 9, but primarily just to compare them to the presentation of some in the church today, following the assertion of our Lord himself that among those in the church there would be wheat and tares. One list of the reasons for the absence of the 9 says that, well, one waited to see if the cure was real. The second waited to see if it would last. The third said, well, I will go see Jesus later. The fourth decided that he had never had leprosy. And the fifth said, well, he probably would have gotten well anyway. The sixth gave glory to the priests. The seventh said, oh, well, Jesus, he didn't really do anything. The eighth said, well, any rabbi could have done it. And the ninth said, I was already much improved. Jesus just helped me along. These are very fanciful. And I think you will recognize in all of them reasons why we don't think to give thanks to God always in our modern society. Whatever the reason, the fact remains that only this one man returned to give thanks to God and to acknowledge Jesus. And so it was to this man alone that Jesus would say, go, your faith has made you well. Or a better translation is, your faith has saved you. It has made you whole. This man is not just being healed. He is also come into relationship with Jesus. And that new relationship is the source of healing, not just of his leprosy, but from all that separates him from God. Jesus involved this man's faith, but this should not allow us to tie his physical healing to faith. All 10 of the lepers were healed physically. But Jesus only commends one on his faith. And remember, this comes right after the raising of Lazarus. Lazarus was brought back to life despite being unable to demonstrate any faith as a dead man. Jesus is rebuking the common notion of the presence of sickness or physical ailment necessarily being tied to sin. Now, some sin can lead to sickness. Alcoholism being a very easy and unfortunately drastic result. But more drastically, all sin leads to spiritual death, if not atoned for. Like this man in this story, when we see God working, all we can do is come to Him with praise and thanks to His feet. That in itself will strengthen our faith for the next time that we have to rely on Him. The more we acknowledge God's involvement in our lives, the more we'll expect it. And the more it will just become an everyday part of our lives. But what really is the difference in this story was the man who returned to kneel at Jesus' feet to begin a personal relationship with Him. And, oh yeah, he was a Samaritan. This is the most glaring detail of the story. This foreigner, this stranger, as Jesus Himself described him. This echoes the repeated intent of Jesus to teach the superiority of the gospel of Christ over the law. The law can tell us if we have leprosy, but we have to go to Christ to be healed. The law can point out the minutiae of our sin and how short we fall of God's standards. But it brings us with it, the law brings it with no power to accomplish what it demands. And unfortunately, that is a lesson that hopefully in the end, more than 1 out of 10 of you will learn. Many people live their lives, even lives in the church, but not aware of Christ at all. Or at best, only know of Him as a good man, a healer, a good teacher. They find real mercy from Him, as He does give His blessings to the just and the unjust. However, to some, God's grace never overtakes them. And they stay in their own set ways, just like the 9 lepers. These lepers got their healing, and then they went through the emotions. They obeyed the law, but they failed to be cleansed of something far more serious. Their actions indicated that they considered their healing to come from somewhere other than Christ. Perhaps they figured their obedience to go to the priest was the reason they got healed. God provided the means. They just had to be active participants for it to work. In some sense, they helped heal themselves. Just like someone who takes his medicine heals himself. But how many of you go back to your doctor and thank him when he prescribes the right medicine and you recover? We don't often do it. We just expect. That's their role. We've got ours. But this foreigner, this stranger, he received insight from God. This foreigner could get nowhere near the Holy of Holies in the temple, but he could come face to face and worship at the feet of the Savior. And so I ask, where are you? Who are you? Are you the cured Israelite? Or are you the whole Samaritan? If you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. By doing so, let us equally be ready to pray and to praise in spirit and in truth. And I ask, do you know Him? Do you know Him who we come to worship in spirit and in truth today? Do you know Him as Creator? Do you see Him in the creation of earth and all the heavenly realm? And in your fellow men, created in the likeness of His image? Do you know Him as Master, with His counsel and commands and commandments and doctrines of new life given in His Word? Do you know Him as Savior, as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and now calls you dear child and friend? Wherever you are, after having received His healing and grace, whether you are just steps away from Him, or whether you are more fully immersed in the village and the world, turn back, O man. Turn back and receive the riches of His love and mercy. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who has bidden us to give thanks for all things and to forget not all Thy benefits, accept our praise for the great mercies we have received at Thy hands. Ever give us grateful hearts and help us to magnify Thee in our daily lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.